thank you, Lord, for your word. Tonight, as I hear the word, my faith will be energized. I confess, I'll not only hear it, I'll also do it. Because I hear it and I do it, my life won't stay the same. Thank you, Lord, for your life-changing, ever-living, miracle-working word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, please? Let's go there. And I just feel like the Lord led me to this passage just for us to, you know, to explore it. And, of course, since Wednesday's format is study, that of study. Just a portion of Scripture here, I feel like we can grow deeper in our understanding of the Lord in this passage. If you're gonna make a, you know, run your notes and you want a title, I'm gonna be talking to you this week and probably next week too on keys of the kingdom. Okay, it's out of the Scriptures, keys of the kingdom, and we'll be talking about several things having to do with that. Matthew chapter 16 is where the subject is introduced by the Lord Jesus Himself, and we'll go. I said 16, right? I didn't say 13, did I? Well, go to verse 13. All right. Matthew 16, 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, who do you say that I am? You know, that's a question I think he's still asking. Amen. Who do we say that he is? That's a whole other sermon, isn't it? Or message or lesson. Simon Peter then answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, or son of Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Of course, we know that's a little, which means a little stone, right? Peter. You're a Peter. You're a little stone. And on this rock, which is a different word with the word Petra, having to do with, like a massive, a protruding cliff, you know. And on this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of Hades, or hell, shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus, the Christ, Christos, anointed one, the anointed Messiah. Praise the Lord. Wonderful passage. Man, that's one of those wow passages of Scripture, because it's just so packed with information. You could pick out just any one of those verses. Any of you guys who are preachers, I mean, you could take any one of those verses and you could take off. It's just so packed with information about the things of God and the kingdom of God and so forth. But we have this occasion in verse 13, Jesus and disciples are in the Upper Galilee. If you've kind of watched where you are, Caesarea Philippi is up in above the Sea of Galilee in the northern part of Israel. I was just refreshing myself today when I was reading that and reminding myself, well, where that is. Been there a couple of times now, and actually, it was a. You think of Galilee, you think of Jesus walking on water, but it's actually a very vile pagan place. Although it's in the land of Israel, but many of the Jews that were up there were very idolatrous pagan worshipers. There was a temple that was built by Herod towards Caesar, toward the Caesarea Philippi, by the way, as the way that it gets the name. So it was to to worship him even as a god. There was another temple there. Monica, remember that temple, the ruins of Pan, which was a, you know, just a demonic, just such a demonic worship, where they would sacrifice their children, you know, to this god. I mean, it was just a terrible place. But here Jesus is. He's up in that region, and it doesn't really affect the message that I'm giving you today, but I was just thinking about it today. But in this ministry of the Lord, then he has this conversation with his disciples there. And in the process of that, God gives Simon this revelation, wonderful revelation, the revelation of who Jesus Christ really, really is. And he just blurts it out, you know. Of course, we can put our own thinking to this. You are the Christ, Christos, which is the Messiah. Recognizing deity, you are the divine, you are the Son of the living God, you are the Son of God, not just a prophet, not just a teacher, not just a rabbi, you are the anointed deliverer. And then Jesus goes on and he talks about how that he is going to then build from that revelation, he's going to build his church, ecclesia. We've talked about it in our class before, a word that describes masses of people, assemblies of people. He's going to build a church, people who are called out. Called out of what? Called out of the world. Amen. Called out of the world, called into something, called out, it refers to like a Christian community, later became known as a Christian, like a Christian community of believers here in this earth. And so called out of the world, out of the kingdom of this world, into a new kingdom. Praise God. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, as is referred to here. Book of Matthew, as you study your Bible, you see Matthew is the one who uses kingdom of heaven all the time. Many times those words, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, most of the time are interchangeable. You know, they refer to perhaps a little different aspect of the heavenly kingdom, but many times they're referring to basically the same thing. But here, called out of the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God, called out of the society into the citizenry of a world that is beyond this natural world, a world that is marked by God's ways, amen, a kingdom that is marked by God's systems and God's principles and God's laws and God's benefits and God's norms, amen. And then he adds in verse 18, that this ecclesia, this church that Jesus is going to be building, is going to be so powerful and is going to have so much authority, praise the Lord, that even the entrance, the gates, that entering place of hell, the lower regions, will not be able to withstand, to overpower, to be superior in strength, this church, this called out assembly of people who believe in God. The one who has had up until this point the authority, the devil, the authority to hold people in separation from God will no longer have that authority. It says the gates of hell are going to be subject to the church. Then we get to verse 19, and that's where I want to pick up, I want to park. Verse 19 is the verse out of the story that just jumped at me. He says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There are three things that, two of them we'll cover tonight, but three things out of this that I want us to touch on before we're finished with this the scripture discussion here. The first would be is how do we define the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? How do we define that? Secondly, what does it mean? You know, when Jesus told them, whatever you loose or you bind on earth is going to be loose, it's going to be bound in heaven, what does that mean? You know, it's a wonderful revelation, but it's also been kind of flaky for a lot of people. And the third thing that we're wanting to be talking about before we're through this is is what did Jesus mean by saying that he would give the keys of the kingdom of heaven? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. You ever wondered any of those things? I've just in taking them individually, it's interesting. It's such an interesting study. Praise the Lord. So let's just take them one at a time. First of all, how do we define the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven? Being as the kingdom of God is referred to so many, many times in the Bible. As I said, in the book of Matthew, he uses the phraseology, the kingdom of heaven. A few times he uses the kingdom of God, but most of the time he uses the kingdom of heaven. But how do you define that? Being as it's so many, many times in there, being as also that the gospel of the kingdom was Jesus' primary message. That's what he came to do. He came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Not only that, then the disciples, he sent out the disciples, and their message was to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Later on, our message is that of the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus also said that we were to pray for the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Remember in Matthew chapter 6, there's one occasion when he's talking about we call it the Lord's Prayer. He says, you pray that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, a likeness, the same, different but the same. Amen? Different but the same, or the same but different, whichever way you want to say it. Amen? But that kingdom would come into this earth in full manifestation. So, you know, what's the picture? I won't challenge you tonight because I want you to think. I want you to have such a concept of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, such that it's a living reality for you. What's the picture that you see when you see or you read the scripture of the kingdom of heaven? I want you to be so grounded in it that when it's mentioned that you're there. There's a difference in just reading about it in the Bible and you being there. That you feel like, you know that when that's mentioned, that's you. You're in that. You know? We're talking about you. We're not talking about something else. You're a part of it. You're living in it. Amen. It's just as real or even more real to you than the physical world, the natural world in which you were born in. So the kingdom of God, what is it? Kingdom of God, what does it look like? The kingdom of God, what does it consist of? So let's touch on some of those things. First of all, it's called a kingdom. So let's just deal with it word by word. The kingdom. What is a kingdom? The Greek word for kingdom in those Gospels is basileia. I'll spell it to you. Basileia. Basileia. It means sovereignty, royal power, dominion. The kingdom, the rule, the kingdom refers to the royalty to rule. The royalty to rule, a king, the royalty to rule, authority to rule. The kingdom is defined as the eternal, when we're talking about the kingdom of God, the eternal spiritual realm of God's rule and dominion. That realm of God's rule and God's dominion. That sphere, the sphere or the realm of rule. Of course, you can that definition cross over from a spiritual definition to even to a natural definition. The realm of rule, the sphere of rule. So, let me just throw the question out to you for a little bit of discussion tonight. What do you see when you read or you hear someone talk about the kingdom of God? Amen? Well, you know, what did you say? What does that mean to you? What is the kingdom of God? Somebody help me here. Let's just discuss it a little while. What is it? Pardon me?
Cheryl. The laws are completely different. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and the law of death. That is the law that I function under.
Amen.
Than the law of finances in the kingdom of God. and I function under those laws, and I'm not supposed to be intimidated by what happens in this world economy. I'm supposed to be ruled by the laws of my kingdom that I belong in.
Amen. Could y'all all hear that? Hopefully. Praise the Lord. So from Cheryl's bringing out to us then having to do, when we think about the kingdom, that sphere of reign is a fully separate, different kinds of laws, right? The laws of the kingdom. Okay? What else? Sharon.
God's way of thinking and doing things.
God's way of thinking and doing things. God's way. God's way of doing. Praise the Lord. You're right. Yes. Amen. Amen. You know, a lot of times when we think about kingdoms, we think of it geographically, right? A kingdom, the UK kingdom, da da. Well, as I said, you know, they were saying, well, where is the kingdom? Show us the kingdom. We want to go to the kingdom. You know? And Jesus responded, as David's pointing out to us, the kingdom's not here, it's not there. The kingdom of God is just within you. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God is within you. So you think of that. So that's something that is, you think of it personal. Praise the Lord. So we got laws, amen, ways. We got, my brain just said, ding. Praise the Lord. What Debbie said? What else? The kingdom of God. What do you say? What is it to you? Yes, Paula. I'm sorry?
The fruit of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit? That's certainly a part of the kingdom, isn't it? Amen. Fruit of the Spirit. Okay, what else? Kingdom of God. Well, what comes to your mind, Hildy, when you think of the kingdom of God? Amen.
With the authority over the enemy that he's already granted us.
Praise the Lord. That's good. That's good. Did y'all all hear that? It's good. Y'all's ears are really good. Praise the Lord.
Think of a kingdom that's free of sickness and disease and infirmity.
Amen.
And
amen.
Fear.
Wow. Yeah, so much different than you're seeing it from, it's so much different from the natural kingdom. Praise the Lord. And all of the limitations and the things that we as humans, and sin is what caused those things. You know, where we are brought into a place of release from what sin has held us in. That's good. Praise God. That's good. What else? Somebody else tell me. The kingdom of God. What do you see? These are all good. There's not, you know, wrong and right. I mean, these are all good. I just want us to discuss it. Yes, June?
The kingdom of God is like a seed, a little seed, a mustard seed, and you plant it and it sprouts and somebody through the word and it blossoms into this great big tree. The Holy Spirit just takes it and you never know what
you're
going to do with it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, one of the teachings of the Lord, you know, as he was, isn't it something that, if you think about it, Jesus was always trying to, or, I don't guess that came out just right, but Jesus was, he was always trying to help people understand what the kingdom, he said, the kingdom of God is likened to la, 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 la. Isn't it amazing how he's always trying to get us to see the kingdom of God? Praise the Lord. That's right. It's, and in one place there, he commissions, it's like a little mustard seed. Praise the Lord, yeah. What else? Sharon has something else?
Authority,
power, kingdom of God. That's certainly a characteristic of the kingdom of God, power and authority. Praise the Lord. Anybody else have something? Oh, yes, Ronnie.
No more death, eternal life.
Eternal life? Amen. It's an aspect of the kingdom of God.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. now the kingdom of God is. Yeah, amen. So righteousness, amen. You said in the book of Romans? Is that Romans 15? The kingdom of God is righteousness, righteousness, peace, rightness, rightness with God. That's a way of living, isn't it? As well as position. Peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Wow, it's good. Kingdom is, man, the kingdom, it's just so powerful. Glory to God. I start talking about the kingdom of God and the fact that we're in the kingdom. Glory to God, and the kingdom's in us. And this is an exciting thing because God wants you to live different than the world, in the kingdom of this world. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Glory to God. We've been translated out of the soul kingdom. Glory to God. So we want it to be living, live. Amen. Functioning. There was another hand over here. Yes, Debbie.
Well, it seems that there's a doorway to that kingdom. And whether we walk in the kingdom or outside the kingdom, we choose to stay in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, or whether we choose to walk outside of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And now you're going into that next step into what, because Jesus said what? He says, I'm going to give you the keys. What do keys do? There you go. Open up into it. Open up into living it. Open up into experiencing it. Opening up. I'm going to give you the keys, he said. I'm going to give you the keys. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yes, Joy?
That key not only opens, that key also locks out.
Amen.
It's not of the kingdom.
Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. That's what it does. Permits or disallows. Praise the Lord. And we'll see that. We'll see that as we'll see it even from Scripture as we're going through this. Yeah, Elizabeth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God's a good God, isn't He?
Amen.
Hallelujah. In Him is goodness. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, and you know, this is what, you know, as you study this and you can pull so many scriptures together. But this is what we are about. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says that this kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom is going to have to be preached as a witness, a testimony to all nations before the end comes. Praise the Lord. So here we are, this gospel of the kingdom. I can remember when I was... you know, just came to the Lord and just began to learn. I used to think of the kingdom of God. Well, there was a time I thought about it as heaven. The kingdom of God is like in heaven, you know. That's the kingdom of God. That's where the king is on the thrones in heaven. I thought about it several ways. The kingdom of God is something so spiritual, you know. It's easy to think of it so spiritual that it's out of reach. And that's not what the Lord wants us to do. It's one of my objectives in this is let's bring it into reach because it is. It is. But I used to think of it as something that would be out of reach, not something that had really anything to do with me in the right now. It's easy to think of it like the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of angels, you know, a kingdom of spirits, and those kinds of things. That there, again, it separates us from. But when I begin to realize and to get insights, that the kingdom of God touches earth. The kingdom of God touches us. Praise the Lord. And as we do that, it becomes so exciting. It becomes such a reality. Praise the Lord. Because we are to live in the kingdom of God. Amen. So let's kind of pull all this together. We're talking about what's the kingdom? What does it look like? What does it consist of? And so my paradigm, maybe my summary of the things that you all brought out here is the kingdom. Remember the definition. It's the realm of rule, or the spiritual realm of rules, or sovereignty, or dominion. A kingdom is a spiritual realm of dominion. And so then if we add to it the fact that it clarifies, the scriptures clarify what we're talking about. We're talking about not just a kingdom, we're talking about the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God would be this spiritual realm of rule and dominion of God. Praise the Lord. This realm of rule, dominion of God. What does it consist of? What is it made up of? What does it look like? I think Sharon said it looks like God's way of doing. God's way of doing. We say God's way of doing things. It would consist of, I think someone else brought it out, it would consist of God's laws. Amen. It would consist of God's logic, God's way of thinking. It would consist of God's reasoning. It consists of the way that God sees everything. It consists of God's systems. And systems would be those processes by which things happen, things work. And we many times try to work things in the king, still though we're believers, but in the kingdom of this world, while we're trying to function in the kingdom of God, and you know, it gets balls up, and therefore it doesn't work. So the God's systems would be that process by which things work. It's a good thing, it's important for us to know how God has created things to work. Cheryl mentioned, for example, finances a while ago. God has a way for finances to work that if we can learn that way, then praise the Lord, then those blessings of the economy of heaven will come into our lives. Amen. So this is where we're going. It's that the method, God's norms, God's principles, God's rewards. In the same way that we might would, you know, picture, a natural kingdom, a geographic kingdom. We say for the U.S., because not called a kingdom, it's called a republic, but, you know, the similarity is there. The rule of reign in our country, so it is with God. So God's kingdom, we can see what it consists of. It's God's way of doing. Secondly, it is spiritual. Amen. It is spiritual. It functions. It's going to function. It's going to touch and to be touched through things that are spiritual. Amen. So, how are we as human beings going to? Because we're three part. So our spiritual man, our spirit man, the real us, is the part of us that is going to enter in and be a participant in the kingdom of God. Amen? It's going to cause things to change in the natural realm, but it's still of a spiritual in nature, according to the scriptures. According to scripture, the kingdom of God has come, amen, but it is still coming. So the kingdom of God has not been fully manifested in this earth as of yet, but it will be. Has come, is coming, will be manifested in its fullness. And you can see, for example, a scripture such as Revelation chapter 11, there in end times, one of the angels that stood and sounded, and he said this with a loud voice. He said, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever." Praise the Lord. So it's being manifested more and more. Amen. And that should be, I think we've mentioned this before, but it should be part of our prayer, that though the Lord's prayer was, you know, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." The kingdom has come, but it's very appropriate for us to pray that God's kingdom manifests itself in a greater degree than it ever has before. Thank you, Lord, that your kingdom manifests itself in our life. Let me read you a couple of other scriptures having to do with that. Mark 1 and verse 15, The Bible says this time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God, Jesus is talking, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. So the kingdom, he's manifesting as he was here. He was doing the works of the kingdom. It was here. In Luke chapter 17, verse 21, the scripture says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within in you. That was brought out by one of you a while ago. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 20. The kingdom of God is not just talking, it's living by God's power. Praise the Lord. It's a reality. Everybody say it's a reality. Amen. So it's spiritual in nature. It has come and it is coming. Not fully manifested, but it will be, praise the Lord, when the Lord Jesus returns. Number three, we're already in it. We're functioning in it. But now listen to this. We're functioning in it at the level of our knowledge and our faith. You and I, we are all equal in the sight of God, but we don't all function in the kingdom at the same level, having to do with knowledge, you remember, and faith. So as we learn more, we function in the kingdom more. Praise the Lord, becomes even a greater reality. And so, you know, the point that I wanted to leave with you tonight is that the kingdom of God is not something, it's not way out there in the future. It's not up in the heavens, the throne of God. It's not the spiritual realm of someday, some way, somehow after the rapture. But it is here. Praise the Lord. It is where we live right now. We are in it. We are being touched by it. Not fully manifested yet, but we are to learn its ways. Amen. We are to learn its functions. We are to learn how to function in it and enjoy the benefits and the blessings of being in the kingdom under God's protection and God's blessing. Amen. Now, let's go back to verse 19. Praise the Lord. I have a couple of minutes here. Matthew 16, verse 19. He says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Real quickly here. What did Jesus mean? I'm going to give you the keys, and whatever you bind on earth or loose on earth will be bound or loosed in heaven. Man, that's a wild card, isn't it? Praise the Lord. And it's taken thousands of different ways by lots of different Christians. I remember when back in the, goodness, seems like so far away, but back in the 70s, coming into the kingdom. I mean, we bound and loosed everything we could bind and loose, you know. If we didn't want it, we bound it, you know. If we wanted it, we loosed it. You know, and sometimes I'd be binding and loosing stuff, and I would think as I was binding and loosing, I have no idea what I'm doing. I hear everybody else doing it, so bless God, I'm doing it too. If they can do it, I can do it too. But, you know, sometimes we do. People, you know, we think we've got authority over people, just practically anything and anyone. On the other hand, there's sometimes we kind of get into the cycle of just the binding and loosing having to do with things about the devil. You know, I bind the devil. I bind you, devil. Y'all ever done that? Sure you have. All of us have probably at one time or other. And anyway, I don't have time to go to go there. Although it doesn't really mention anything about the devil here. I mean, he says whatever you bind. But so in reality, what authority is Jesus saying to us? What is he really giving us, you know? Could it be that Jesus, you know, is giving humans just unlimited authority, unlimited power, binding and loosing? Could it be? What about those that abuse it? What about those that abuse it? Does God not realize that, you know, that could happen? Or the fact that we as Christians, because we are humans still, And we've not been glorified yet, but sometimes we don't know what to bind and what to loose. We don't, you know. So, what does it mean? I encourage all of you to study it out on your own. I really encourage you to do so. But I feel like one of the easiest ways to explain this is if we read this scripture from the Amplified Translation. Now, I wish I had it on the board. I wish I had it tonight so I could put it on the board from the Amplified. Those of you who have an Amplified Bible, maybe somebody could look on with you. But I want to read the scripture slowly, let you catch it. And I believe that we can get the gist of what the Lord is saying, and we find, you know, the truth of this thing as it is translated here in the Amplified Bible. Verse 19, it says this: I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now watch this. And whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. Okay, I'm going to read that again. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind, which is a word that means to fasten, forbid, or prohibit, whatever you bind or declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. I'm beginning to make sense of this thing. And whatever you loose, that is, you release it, you declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven, or the seat of the order of things. Must be what is order. Now watch this. So heaven, it is to be what heaven or what God has already made to be so. To be what God has already ordained in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, in the rules and the regulations and the systems and so forth of the kingdom. This is what Jesus is trying to tell them. Amen. He says, I'm going to give you the keys, something that locks or unlocks, allows entry into the kingdom of heaven and all that it consists. Now watch. I'll read this again. And whatever you bind, declare to be improper or unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. In other words, it must be in accordance or in agreement with the ways and the systems, the laws and the methods, etc., 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 etc. We just talked all about the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Then he says, and whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the summary of that would be simply this, that we have been given authority to permit, to allow, or to function in accordance with anything that is allowed in the kingdom of God. He has his ways, his rules, his systems, his laws, his principles. And we've been given the authority to unlock, to open those doors, to release those things. Or we've been given the authority to bind or forbid from happening anything that is not sanctioned by the governance of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Can you see that? Praise the Lord. And that helps us, you know, put an end to the nonsense that people come up with that. Amen. Amen. So, to me, this is another reason that it's so important that we study the scriptures, that we come to know how the kingdom functions, praise the Lord, so that we know what we're binding. What do we have the authority to bind? What do we have the authority to release? What do we have the authority, what has God said? And as we know how the kingdom functions, we know what to disallow, we know what to permit, amen. Whatever heaven has declared permissible. Let's say that together. Whatever heaven has declared permissible. Praise God. We have been given the keys to unlock it and to enjoy it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whatever God has said no to, that's not permissible, we have the authority to bind it from going on in our lives. And that's good news. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can I touch this last one, and then we'll pick it up next week? This last one, the third part is, what did Jesus mean by saying that he gives them the keys to the kingdom of heaven? And this is going to be a whole study here. But what does it mean? What are the keys to the kingdom? I want to give you the very, I want to give you the first key to the kingdom. And notice it says we have been made stewards of the keys to the kingdom. He's made us stewards that we are to handle those things. Okay? And the first key, the one of the highest priority in all that we're going to study here, would by necessity be the key of the gospel of the new birth. We have been given the key of the gospel of the new birth, the gospel of salvation. Or the way in which a sinner can come to know Jesus as Savior, be forgiven of his sin, come into a relationship with God, be invited into the kingdom, and be welcomed into the family of God. Jesus has made us stewards of the gospel that allows people entry into a relationship with God. Praise God. We have that key. The gospel is that key that unlocks the kingdom so others can be ushered in. If y'all remember, of course, I'm going to get into a long theological thing here. I don't have time for one, but first of all, he's talking to Peter. So there is a Peter, you know, he's talking to Peter about releasing to him the key of the kingdom. And then if you went over into Matthew chapter 18, we see that authority of binding and loosing is also given to all of the disciples. It's not just given to Peter alone, but all of the disciples. All of them were given the power to do that. Then later on, then this gospel of the kingdom, the stewardship of the gospel of the kingdom, was given to everyone, all believers. Mark chapter 16, remember it said? This is what you do. You're to go into all the world, and you're to preach the gospel to all. Gospel of what? The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of salvation. That's the first thing that we preach, the gospel of salvation. This is the way into the kingdom of God, unlocking that key for them. Amen. But if you'll remember what happened in the birthing of the church, the Holy Spirit descended on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Holy Spirit came upon the apostle Peter. He was anointed of the Lord. He stood up and he began to preach. And what did he preach? He preached Jesus. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He preached the gospel of salvation, the death, the burial, the resurrection. And that key, God gave him that power, came upon him with the power to use that key today. That day he opened the door of faith, praise God, and grace into the life of people. And as he preached, praise the Lord, the doors to the kingdom of God swung wide. 3,000 people one day were ushered in. Isn't that beautiful? So that's one of the keys that we have been, in fact, that is the primary key we have been made stewards of, is the gospel of the kingdom of God, is the gospel of salvation. We are stewards to unlock God's kingdom to the world, and we must use it. Now, we'll pick up right there, and I'll finish that part next week, okay? I'm 5 minutes over. It's all right. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your word, and thank you for opportunities like these, oh Lord, just to discuss the scriptures and to learn more about you. Go deeper. We want to go deeper, oh God. Help us, oh God. Teach us, oh God. Straighten us out. Fix us, oh God. Give us revelation. Thank you, Lord, that you've made it possible for us to be partakers, hallelujah, through your great and precious promises of the very divine nature of God. According to the Apostle Peter, as he spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit, we love you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. All right. Very good. We learn anything? Amen. Prayer partners, if you'd come forward, if anybody needs prayer, just come and and let them pray for you and minister to you, okay? We'll see you hopefully this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. One of those days, I'm going to see you somewhere around here, okay? Love you guys. God bless you. You're dismissed.